Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, the Night Stalker. These names are infamous, but do you really know what drove them to kill?
In Mind of a Serial Killer, we don't just tell you the story, we break down the psychology behind it.
Follow and listen to Mind of a Serial Killer, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
In Gonzalez, looking to send Washington into the divisional round. Snap good, hold down, kick.
Are you not entertained by the NFL playoffs, the CFP playoffs? What a weekend and what a game last night down in Tampa Bay as the Commanders head to Detroit Saturday. That was Bram Weinstein and London Fletcher on the call for Commanders Radio. Really good call there. Zay Gonzalez doinks them into the second round of the playoffs. They outlast the Bucs 23-20, by far the best game of the weekend, wild card weekend. So far, we do have Vikings and Rams later on today in Glendale, Arizona, and you know, the Rams will be playing with a lot of emotion concerning what's going on in Southern California. And as we say good morning to everybody out there, get after graveyard shift. Shout out to Craig, who I met at Molly Stone's yesterday. Works for Muni at the Balboa Park Station. And he goes, I blast. He goes, he's an OG. Had his cigar, Shasky. Said, I'm an OG roaster. I love it when you say good morning to the overnight dancer. So good morning to him. Special shout out to Craig, who's listening. And they were talking. It was funny. I was walking by Baby Taz, and you could hear your eavesdropping. They're like, well, I don't know if Purdy's worth this, but you got to pay up this. And so Niner fans are still locked in what the Niners need to do. But what a game last night. Jayden Daniels stole the show. And we're starting to see the divisional round set up, Shasky. What is up?
Zane Gonzalez was in camp with the Niners last year, competing, in air quotes, with Jake Moody. Just want to put that out there. Also, Chase McLaughlin hit field goals yesterday.
Yeah, he's been balling ever since what happened in overtime.
I mean, it's just, I can't escape the 49ers special teams. Packers, I thought they had the worst special teams unit of all time. And they pull a Niners and they fumble right off the rip. It was watching all those games, not every moment of every game did I pivot back to the 49ers, but it's hard not to. And let's start with Washington. This is a team that had the number two overall pick. They've basically been dormant for about 25 years. You and I grew up in the Washington area,
right?
Was a hotbed for professional football. Mm-hmm. And we know that baseball, they've been, you know, pretty relevant in terms of winning the World Series a couple years ago and having some marquee youngsters in Bryce Harper, Strasburg, and things like that. But I grew up, that was a football market.
Yep.
And that organization was a powerhouse organization. And it's just crazy. The hope of a great quarterback and what it can do. You get a new coach in Dan Quinn who, I mean, I think most of us are like, Dan Quinn, you know.
But I'm probably higher on Dan Quinn than others.
Okay, but like nobody thought he was going to, you know, reinvent the wheel. You thought he was stable, right? Like at minimum. And they take that kid number two overall, and it's the poise. It's the smarts. It's the moxie. It's the ability to, you know, basically run no huddle.
Yeah.
What felt like the entire game with Cliff Kingsbury. And I was just so impressed with him and how he played the game. And I just started thinking, like, man, football's better when a big-time region like Washington is now in the mix.
Right.
No, it just is.
No, you get the nation's capital. They're going to start getting night games. Because even if it goes back a couple weeks ago, we were off during the holidays. Or maybe I was off that Monday or whatnot. But when Michael Penix Jr. is dual league with Jayden Daniels and you had big time football in the nation's capital, a game that mattered, Commanders and Falcons, and I said, and you could see the camera shaking because old RFK Stadium, when it would rock, it would be like Doak Campbell Stadium where the camera's shaking. You're looking at the field. You're like, wow, it's going crazy in there with the Hogs and Charles Mann, Dexter Manley, Darryl Green in the back end. And so now you get this market. And I know they're fighting for RFK Stadium. I think they won that vote to bring the Commanders back downtown to Washington, D.C. So you get the owner of Josh Harris. You got Adam Peters there running the show. You got Dan Quinn there. Bob Myers is chilling. Kingsbury is calling the plays. And you got a quarterback who's as calm as I've seen coming into this league. I cannot believe how much composure this young man has going toe-to-toe with Baker Mayfield. And it was Baker Mayfield who came up with the big turnover. And it wasn't Jaden Daniels who threw interceptable passes. And he made clutch throws on third down over and over and over again. They do have hope. And in that division, now you get the rivalries back. Cowboys, Commanders. Commanders, Eagles. And then Commanders and Giants. So it is fun having DC. You're right. Having the marquee teams that we grew up with, that's why I'm waiting on the Raiders.
Yeah.
I want to see the Raiders be good.
Well, the Bears is a team that I want to see do well. Like, not because I like the Bears or the Raiders, but like it's just better when those teams are functional and just in the mix. And we know that their fan bases, although they've been quiet, they're still large fan bases. Jaden Daniels, man, this guy, I just can't believe how good he is in terms of like calm, telling everyone where to go. You know, he's basically, you know, going up to the line of scrimmage, and it's not a true up tempo type of an offense.
No, but they don't.
But he's pointing things out, and he's going to the line. He's talking to his center and his guards, and he's smacking him on the leg, and he's telling Eckler where to line up or Robinson where to line up. And I don't know. I was really impressed with his poise. Obviously, you know, there's a couple of throws he wants back. One at the red zone, them going for it on fourth down. I mean, there was a lot of gumption, but it's a trip when you get a quarterback that just breathes hope into the entire organization. And I'm sitting here and I'm saying, like, look, they've got a lot of cap room. They got all their draft picks. Last year, they traded away Montez Sweat at the deadline. They traded away Chase Young at the deadline. Doesn't it feel like this is probably their worst version of their team? Like, they're only going to get, quote-unquote, better because of some of the things they'll be able to add to this.
Well, you bring in Dan Quinn, who knows how to coach defense. I thought Dan Quinn did a hell of a job in Atlanta when he led them to the Super Bowl, and then, obviously, with the Cowboys defense, they looked a lot better under Dan Quinn than they did Mike Zimmer, although they had a plethora of injuries this season, the Cowboys, that is. Dan Quinn could coach defense, so they got ahead of it, saying, look, we're not going to win anything with Sweat. Chase Young, we think, is not a guy we could go into the future with. And we've seen Chase Young now. He's okay.
He's disappointed.
But he's underwhelmed.
Yeah, he's disappointed.
He's underwhelmed. So they pivot off of that, get some draft capital, and you get into that top three saying, okay, we know who our quarterback is. We're going to get Jaden Daniels. And we have Terry McLaurin, who's an underrated leader in this league. He's a big-time leader for that football team, and he comes up with monster catch after monster catch. And now these other guys are coming along. Brian Robinson Jr., who got shot. Yeah. We know he's resilient. And then Austin Eckler, who we saw with the Chargers for a long, long time. So they do have a quarterback. And it kind of reminded me, in a way, as I'm watching it, and I'm watching Jaden Daniels rally that team, in a way it was Brock Purdy-esque. I'm not saying Brock Purdy's Jaden Daniels. I'm not saying that at all before we all go crazy. But when Brock Purdy got inserted to the lineup, and he lit it up in that Miami game. And then he outduels Tom Brady at Levi's Stadium. And he helped them go on that run. He galvanized that football team in that Niner locker room. So when you get a good quarterback play who is calm, cool, and collected, and they make big-time third down throw after third down throw or a scramble, or you get put up in third and short situations or fourth and short situations with this quarterback, and you don't. And you're like, you know what? I got a shot with this guy. Mm-hmm. I got a shot on every single play to make something happen. It does galvanize an organization.
Yeah, and it feels like they're now a destination, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Like, well, if you're a playmaker, don't you want to play on that team?
Well, you heard the rumors during the deadline that a lot of players wanted to get traded there because there's a lot of money. You got Josh Harris. You got Josh Harris running the show. And there is a vibe out there. They have a real, you look at their locker room speeches, even early in the year, they beat somebody. Oh, they beat Arizona. They blew out Arizona. and they gave a game ball to Cliff Kingsbury. But the way that locker room was in that I watch all that nonsense, yeah, right? At their locker room, how's the team vibing? Are they feeling it? Like Jim Harbaugh days, when who's got it better than us? And you see all that Niner team. I was a
sucker for that.
Yeah, I was a sucker for that stuff. But you saw that Niner locker room starting to come together week by week by week. That's what the Commanders are. Now, you know what? They believe they got a shot Saturday night in Detroit.
No, I have some overreaction statements that I want you to kind of react to. And I like them a lot against Detroit, but I still like Detroit. The other thing that I noticed when I'm watching this game, obviously Bobby Wagner, all-time legend, just still making plays. It's kind of remarkable.
Yeah.
He's still in the league making plays. But when I watch Jalen Hurts, when I watch obviously Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen on the other side of the bracket. But when I watch the NFC in particular with Jaden and with Jalen Hurts, I say to myself, the defensive linemen and the linebackers that I'm acquiring in this upcoming offseason and in this draft, and Bosa, they better be keying in on one element that is not going to go away. And that's the RPO stuff.
Yep.
How many times do we see these quarterbacks tuck it and either stuff it into the running back's, arms, or pull it out and go? If you are not instinctual on that play, I think your defensive line is completely outdated.
Well, just think about what we saw over the weekend with the RPO zone read quarterback.
Yeah, whatever you want to call it.
TJ Watt. Obviously, his assignment was to crash down on the running back and take away the running back. But that could be a mistake because Lamar Jackson pulled it and got outside all day long. So you got to make a choice. We saw Bosa in the Super Bowl. Maybe that was his assignment under Steve Wilks. Go crash at the running back. Well, kids took advantage of that. Mm-hmm. They got a first down on fourth down. We saw a keeper earlier in the fourth quarter. The rest is history. Now, I thought Tampa Bay, for the most part, did a good job on Jaden Daniels. There was a couple third and shorts where he couldn't get to, and he got blasted on the sidelines. But you got to have an athletic edge rusher who understands the assignment. You cannot let these guys get outside. You got to close down that gap. And that's why the wide nine against those type of players, it will get torched over and over and over again because of the gaps. The spacing is too much. Your splits is too much on that defensive line. So whoever you get out there, yes, you have to contain these guys because it's not going anywhere. These guys are going to pull it and they're going to do anything. Now, you brought up the quarterbacks here. Jaden Daniels or Baker Mayfield were their most impressive NFC quarterbacks by far and away.
It was such a fun game.
Lamar Jackson did what he had to do, and Josh Allen, we'll get to them. The whole Spider-Man meme. They're all-time legends, right? But I'm looking at Jordan Love, who I was high on, and this is a good litmus test. A lot of people say, boy, Jordan Love got all that money, right? It just proves that when you have different combinations on the offensive line and you have continuous injuries at the wide receiver position, and guys are jumping in and out of the lineup, whether it's Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, Wicks, you're going to have issues at the quarterback spot. Listen to these numbers with Jordan Love. All right, Jordan Love's stats are true dropbacks. I got this from Brett Coleman last night. Jordan Love's stats are true dropbacks this season. And these are non-play action, non-RPO, non-screen pass attempts. This is just drop back, rip it, grip it, let's go. Jordan Love, 57% completion percentage, 15 touchdowns, 15 interceptions, 7.5 yards per attempt. For context, he's 26th in completion percentage on true dropbacks and 27th in passer rating. So on true dropback passes, he's not getting it done. And in this league, on third down, especially in the postseason, you better be able to throw from the pocket and make money down plays. And that's what Josh Allen did. That's what Lamar Jackson did. Baker Mayfield and Jaden Daniels did that for the most part yesterday down in Tampa Bay. But Jordan Love regressed. So when you look around the league and you look around the NFC, watching Jordan Love at Green Bay made me feel a lot better about Brock Purdy with the 49ers.
Well, it's interesting you brought that particular, Brett Coleman tweet up. Explain that one more time for people that are listening, because I actually have the Brock Purdy numbers with that exact same criteria.
Yep. So true drop back, because I don't think Purdy was good this year either on the true drop back. But this is the non-play action, non-RPO, non-screen pass attempts. 15 touchdowns, 15 interceptions. The worst TD interception ratio among starters.
Brock Purdy, same criteria this year. 62% completion, 6 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, 9.1 yards per average, and an 89 rating.
So a little bit better than Jordan Love.
A little bit better, but not much.
Not much.
Only the 6 touchdowns. That goes to show you, like, only 6 touchdowns and half of his picks. the majority of the Niner offense for any quarterback is going to be all of the play action, all of the boots, all of the short stuff, all the like. So you're not going to just drop back. I think that's more, to me, more the LaFleur and Shanahan offense and what they're looking for. But the point on Jordan Love is a good one. You can't turn the ball over.
No.
You can't be reckless. You know, reckless. Like, I think about Brett Favre and, you know, the 90s. You and I were having this conversation about all the different decades and the quarterbacks. Brett Favre basically was, you know, 5 years in a row the best quarterback in the NFL. What did him in? He should have multiple Super Bowls.
Interceptions.
The turnovers.
Turnovers.
And Jordan Love is not as good as Brett Favre. That's obvious. Brett Favre is an all-time player. He's a terrible human being, but he's an all-time player. And turning the ball over is going to get you a quick oust in the playoffs,
I just saw a stat on our screen here with Jordan Love. He threw 18 interceptions when trailing in football games. 18. And he's directly, he almost threw a pick on his first pass attempt yesterday. And so what I'm looking, and then Jalen Hurts didn't look right. Something's up with Philadelphia's passing game, which concerns me because they're my Super Bowl pick. But we'll see what happens tonight with Sam Darnold and Matthew Stafford. Boy, what a game for Sam Darnold. This is a monster game against a team that's going to be playing with a lot of emotion, fighting for their city in L.A. This game tonight in Glendale, Arizona is fascinating. But to your point about the drop-back passing game, it could be size. It could be trust in your offensive line. It could be a number of things. Maybe not seeing it. But it is tough to throw from this pocket in this league. So watching those guys with the RPO, you get them out on the perimeter, and there's nothing wrong with play action. John Elway ran play action to itself. So
I want
to
make sure
make it easy for the quarterback. But it just shows in the pocket, and it gets muddied. A lot of guys struggle, especially young guys.
100%. But I think the point on Jordan Love is a good one in that, you know, we thought he was going to take a step forward. Development's not linear. And I think this year was a disappointing year for him on a variety of fronts. Himself, he got hurt. He was banged up. Players around, Christian Watson's hurt again. And obviously Dobbs came out of that game. And Reed came out of that game. Yeah. But they had great run game this year. Yep. And he just didn't put it together. And it just goes to say that, like, not every year is going to be your year. So I still have a lot of questions on him.
No doubt. And then you get to the other side. Justin Herbert, C.J. Stroud. And that Chargers game, I'm saying to myself watching the first half, I'm saying they're leaving this game on the platter for Houston. All Houston needs is one play. And they got that one play from C.J. Stroud where he scrambled to the right, got to the sideline, and hits a dart 30 yards down the field. And it was like, they're back because the Chargers were playing with their food over and over and over again. It doesn't fall on Justin Herbert. Look, I think they exceeded expectations. My personal expectations.
I would agree.
They had nobody like Ladd McConkley. I did not think would translate to this type of wide receiver in the league this fast. Quentin Johnson can't catch a cold. So they need a couple weapons. I think for them going to the playoffs is a big step in the right direction, as well as the Denver Broncos and Bo Nix. So I'm going to exonerate them a little bit here, but Justin Herbert definitely left a lot on the table throwing four picks.
Well, I mean, he keeps getting put into the upper echelon of the quarterbacks, and to me, he's just a click below those guys. I mean, you've got to do it in the playoffs, number one, and number two, again, you can't turn the ball over. Mm-hmm. The same conversation we had with Jordan Love. To be fair, I thought they really overachieved this year.
Yeah.
And I don't think they have a true number one wide receiver. Mm-hmm. I like Ladd McConkey a lot. He's not a number one.
Yeah, he's not a number one.
And they don't have a tight end. I think that they definitely overachieved. But Justin Herbert's going to have to wear this in the same way that Jordan Love had to wear it. When you lose the way that you lose, turning the ball over at the most high-priced position, you've got to be better. You've got to be better with the football, period. Yep. And the one thing I will grant him, once you get a little out of control in these games and you have to start throwing like crazy, I mean, Marino had a 5-interception game in a playoff game.
No doubt.
Montana had multiple big interception games. I think it was the Viking game he threw multiple picks. Like, it does happen in playoff games because you're chasing. Your season's on the line. I'm not making excuses. Saying. Like,
that's what happens.
Exactly.
And you're playing against some of the best defenses in football. You're playing... Go ahead.
That Texans defense, I believe, made Jared Goff throw 5 interceptions.
Yeah, no doubt.
I like their defense.
No, I like their defense a lot, but this is playoff football. That's why stats in playoff football gets a little skewed because you're playing against the best of the best.
It does.
You're getting game plan for. Defenses are throwing the kitchen sink at you. Your season's on the line. It's a do-or-die situation. That's why Ben Roethlisberger, his first Super Bowl, go look at his numbers. They were atrocious, but you know what? They leaned on the defense. They leaned on a running game, and that's my big takeaway. This week, it felt like it was the weekend of the running back. James Cook, Derrick Henry, Brian Robinson Jr. last night, Bucky Irving last night, Saquon Barkley, of course, in Philadelphia. We're going to see some running backs tonight, and Kyren Williams and Aaron Jones. The running back, you need running back in offensive. How many times did you hear people talk about offensive line play?
It was all weekend. All weekend. The other thing is, it does feel like to me, we're ready to crown a star in the NFL in Jaden Daniels. I'm not saying he's there yet, but I feel like the league is ready to propel him forward because of that franchise being so bad for so long.
And in the NFC as well.
Oh, no question.
The NFC needs a top-flight quarterback because the Golden Four are all in the AFC.
He's so fun.
They're all in the AFC. Adam in the city, hang tight, because he wants to talk about quarterback play this weekend at Brock Purdy. We'll get to Adam. We'll continue to talk some playoff football here. Don't forget, Warriors and Raptors, and boy, the Warriors need to win. This will not be an easy game north of the border against the Toronto Raptors, who basically win all their games at home. They only have one road win. So shout out to those watching on YouTube. Brought to you by Go to State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoToStateLumber.com. We got a great announcement on the other side. Something's coming back, and you're going to want to be a part of it. So I'll let you know on the other side about that. And that's brought to you by LifeSource Water System.
What's going on, Roasters? It's Brian Baldinger with the NFL Network, and you're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
First game of the weekend for Super Wild Card Weekend. Of course, and that's Justin Herbert, who went 14-32. 14-32. One touchdown pass, four interceptions. Got sacked four times as well. That was one of the pick sixes. That was his pick six right there that broke the game open. Chargers lose 32-12. They couldn't get any run game going. Joe Mixon, by the way, ran 400 yards. So you see the teams, if you're able to control the line of scrimmage and run the football well in the playoffs, we're going to advance. But Justin Herbert, again, we have to stop trying to put him in this elite category right now. He's not there yet. He's more in a category with the Brock Purdy's, the Jalen Hurts, the Dak Prescott's than we all want to say. He's 6'5". Sure, he's got the rocket arm. He can make all the throws or whatnot. But it has to translate. Too many times in these big games, we see him come up a tad short. So, four interceptions in the playoff game, and now he's 0-2 in playoff games, including that catastrophic comeback, or collapse, I should say, against the Jacksonville Jaguars a few years ago.
So, it's like I call it BOD, benefit of doubt, right? He hasn't earned the benefit of the doubt to rise to the moment in the big games yet. You know, I think he's got to earn that. He's got to showcase it. And so, I mean, there are some people that don't think that Lamar has that benefit of the doubt. And I get their point of view, but it's like, man, the body of work is so amazing. The Justin Herbert thing. He had a great year, 23-3, I believe, touchdown to interception ratio. But the regular season, sometimes, you know, you can kind of take the air out of the ball and play field position and be maybe risk averse. Right. There are times in the playoffs where you're going to have to drive the ball down the field,
right,
especially if your team is down a little. And
he's a good quarterback. He's solid. He's 26 he's solid. Years old. They could build around him, but it just shows, too, that even the ones that you think are better than Brock Purdy, because a lot of people are, we've been down on Brock Purdy, right? Collectively, we've been down on Brock Purdy in this region. But it just shows. Jordan Love, constant turnover at the wide receiver position. You need consistency. Justin Herbert, not a true number one. J.K. Dobbins are hurt for a while. You got some new offensive linemen. You need consistency. C.J. Stroud, no Tank Dell, no Stephon Diggs. He's struggling a little bit in the passing game. Nico Collins is out for a big stretch. C.J. Stroud, that contributed to more of his struggles. It just shows that, yes, the quarterback has to make plays, but you also need consistency in terms of player availability
Absolutely.
On the outside and up front. So that's what did it Brock Purdy this season, but that's what's doing it C.J. Stroud. That's what's doing it, guys. That's what did it Mahomes. And all of a sudden, Mahomes is now getting guys who are healthier and healthier and healthier. So you need guys around you. No doubt about that. So Justin Herbert, I think, is a year away. If he can add some weapons there down in L.A., I keep wanting to say San Diego, L.A. under Jim Harbaugh. They're on the up and up. They exceeded expectations.
What did you make of the other rookie that didn't? We haven't really broken down in Bo Nix?
Bo Nix, I didn't think Denver was going to the playoffs.
Oh, they so overachieved this year.
And you know what? That was a 13-7 football game midway through the third quarter.
Missed a field goal before half.
Before halftime, exactly. You know? Just like Green Bay missing a field goal yesterday to go down 10-3. Bo Nix had a hell of a rookie year. And if they gave him Rookie of the Year, I wouldn't argue about it. Although it feels like it's going to Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be mad if they said Bo Nix, NFL Rookie of the Year. He exceeded my... I didn't think the guy was going to play this year.
I didn't think he was that good coming out. I went and saw him. I told you that Pac-12 championship game. And Penix was the guy I came away liking way more than Bo Nix. And I was like, I just don't see it with Bo Nix. But Sean Payton knows what he's doing. And as much as I hate that guy, he does know offense. The thing with Bo that I underrated, he's way more athletic in the pros than I thought he would be. Yep, I didn't know if his athleticism would translate. Sometimes you get these guys in college, they run around, they're big and strong, and it just doesn't translate.
Yep.
His arm translates, and his athleticism translates. Similar, though, you know, ball security and some of the reckless, you know, wide throws and things like that are going to have to get reined in. I think they need a tight end. They need a little more of a run game, and those things will come. But I was very impressed. On the road in Buffalo, I thought he showed some signs.
He threw that bomb to Troy Franklin. They're up 7-0. They shut the crowd up. I'm like, okay, we got action. And it's a 10-7 game at the half. Should have been 10-10. But you come out there in the third quarter, you can't continue to go 3-and-out, 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 leave your defense out there on the field of Buffalo. They had the ball for 41 minutes and 43 seconds. You saw Sean Payton getting into it with Vance Joseph, their defense coordinator. But if I'm Vance Joseph, I'm like, dude, can you stay on the field for a little bit? Can you stop going 3-and-out? Don't yell at me. It was a 13-7 game midway through the third quarter. What else do you want from us?
One of the things that I loved was Sean Payton after the halftime, you know, comes out. He looks way older. I don't know what happened. I feel like he aged so much in the last couple of years.
He's too old.
He can still coach. And he goes, and he's great points. Like, obviously, ball security in the playoffs is extremely important, right? Red zone defense.
Yep.
And, boy, is he right. And then, so, conversely, it's red zone offense. I think about the Niners this year. Their turnover ratios were so bad, and their red zone offense was so bad. Well, and it's like you got to control the ball, and you got to score when you get into the red area. Yeah, you do. Well, and I think we make a lot. We talk about quarterback play and running back play. And do you score touchdowns?
Well, Buffalo was 1-5 in the red zone yesterday. 1-5.
It's going to haunt them if they play like that against Baltimore.
No doubt about that.
Agree?
They're 1-5. Kind of leave Baltimore in this game, but it's in Buffalo and it scares me. But Baltimore's run game is no joke. And we saw Chris McCaffrey have success against that front in Buffalo early on in that football game. So, look, you got to – it's red zone, no doubt about it. Buffalo was 1-5 in the red zone. They were able to overcome that. Why? Third down efficiency.
I mean, yeah.
Buffalo was 8-15. Denver was 2-9. You have to be able to extend drives. That's one thing Jaden Daniels did yesterday in Washington. Third down after third down. I don't even have the numbers in front of me, but I can tell you they probably were over 50% on third down. Real quick, before we hit the break, because we do have an announcement, let's get to Adam in the City. Then we'll announce something special happening around this station. Adam in the City, good morning. What's up?
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on. Currently driving from Santa Barbara to San Diego, and I just wanted to shout out, you know, LAPD, the LA Fire Department. It's really sad what's going down on there right now. And just wanted to give props to them and those people helping people try to get back to their lives. So, but I want to switch it over to football with the quarterback play we saw yesterday, and I wanted to highlight Herbert and Love. They got their contracts, didn't play up to it, and I'm just kind of curious, like, where, you know, Purdy has looked way better in the playoffs than these guys. His record shows it. His stats show it. And I guess the question is just, like, how are we going to pay this guy? Because my thought is that if we give him the 50-plus million, whatever it is, you're not going to be able to build that team around him to make him competitive. But then if you come in too low at 25, 30 million, is he going to just be like, no, I need to get paid more? And after watching a lot of the quarterbacks this weekend, it's like Purdy is better than a lot of these guys that we see, but how are we going to pay this guy?
I wouldn't worry about that. I think so. The Niners are going to come in with about 60 million in cap space. You do a couple of restructures, you may even be able to create another $10 million. There's a way to structure this contract to where the big money doesn't kick in until 2026, but we'll get there. We'll get there. I wouldn't freak out too much about that quite yet here, Shasky.
The money aside, because to me, it's you have to draft better. Yeah. You have to draft and develop, and then you also have to hit in free agency. What little money you have left over, you have to allocate it appropriately, right? You can't have another Javon Hargrave free agent signing ever. Like, that, those can't happen.
Yep.
You're going to miss. Like, no one, like, I don't even think Leonard Floyd was that big of a hit, right? But
no, he
you
wasn't.
Didn't spend a lot on him.
Right.
The Javon Hargrave, like, it, that really hurts you. You can't have those kinds of deals. And you can't whiff in the first, second, and third rounds.
No doubt.
We know you're a great fourth through seventh, but you can't whiff. What I look at what Buffalo's done, they've hit in their drafts. Yep. Right? Around Josh Allen. So you have to surround that guy. Whether they're making $1 million or whether they're making $500 million, you have to develop properly around that quarterback.
No doubt about that. All right, we got a big announcement coming up. Big announcement. The 95-7 game. Knockout tournament is back, folks. It's back. And we know who won it last year. The trophy center stared at me right in the face. Mark Grady won a knockout tournament last year. I did make the Final Four. I made the Final Four. So, you look at all those Final Four pages, like, who's in the Final Four? Vontae Hill's in the Final Four. But win a chance to shoot hoops on the floor at Shea Center, where Stephen Curry hits his threes and dethrone the reigning champion, Mark Grady. The contest to qualify will start Monday, January 27th, and go for 3 weeks, so you will have plenty of chances to win. That is 2 weeks from today. 2 weeks from today, you'll have a chance to qualify for the 95-70 game knockout tournament. Listen to the 8 a.m. hour, 12 p.m. hour, 4 p.m. hour, starting Monday, January 27th, for your chance to participate in a 95-70 game knockout tournament. And each show will have a slot to give away each day for 3 weeks, and you have to be 18 to win and be a California resident. More details are still to come on how to win a spot in a 95-70 game knockout tournament.
So this is an opportunity for you to shoot buckets on the Chase Center floor.
Yep.
Wow. And all you got to do is listen?
All you got to do is listen. 2 weeks from now, we're going to start qualifying people. Now, my question is, are you gonna show up?
I will be there.
Because you flaked last time.
I had stuff going on. You
flaked, man. You didn't want to show your free throw shot, man.
That's it.
You made some excuses, man. You bowed out. I was looking for you. Right. I was looking for you, Shasky.
I'll be at Chase Center tomorrow as well.
Oh, for Bruce Mahoney.
Yeah.
I wanted to go, but you know what I have going on? 4:15. Maybe Chez's dad's class.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. You're going to learn. Well, if you have a baby girl, things are a little different.
Good.
4:15. I'm going to...
What is she doing? Ballet? Jazz?
Well, she's doing ballet. She's in a theater class.
Oh, cool.
And they're getting ready for a Frozen performance in the summer.
Very cool. My sister danced forever.
Yeah, she loves it. Great. So it's always fun to go. And, they're doing a tap, tap, tap. And, Papa, are you coming to dance class? And I'm looking at the calendar like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to Bruce Mahoney now, because she has dance class. Anyway, 95-70 game knockout tournament. We're going to qualify starting in 2 weeks. And we'll have more details on that next hour. And that's what's coming up, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good.
All right, Dub Nation, it's Draymond Green. Tip-off is coming later today with the great Tim Roy. And then tune in to the Morning Roast tomorrow morning for the best Warriors coverage.
All right, that's Day-Day, who is questionable for today in Toronto with the lower back issue. Steph Curry is cleared to play against Toronto, and Andrew Wiggins is back with the team and will return. Gary Payton II and Brandon Podziski remain out, so remains to be seen if they do return on this road trip. We all were assuming, and the Warriors were assuming, that they would be back at some point, but so far, three games down on this four-game road trip, they're not going to play. But I will say, Pat Spencer, man, I love the pace that he plays at. I had a career-high 17 Friday night in Indiana in a very forgettable basketball game. But Pat Spencer, man, handles the ball, makes good decisions, .5 basketball, goes to the rack. I kind of like Pat Spencer. Kind of like him.
No, I like Pat Spencer, too. The whole lacrosse story is a great one, you know?
He's a good guy.
The equivalent, I guess, of the Heisman in lacrosse.
Yeah.
And now he's switched over and playing basketball. But it's really difficult for me to have strong opinions on a game where, what was it, 6-7 guys didn't play?
6 guys out.
Okay,
and I couldn't believe they ended up, like, cut it to 5 in the fourth quarter. The only thing I was worried was, like, are they going to cover their 11 points? Are they really going to cover the spread? It was a very forgettable basketball game, as this segment is brought to you by Golden State. Serving the Bay Area for 3 generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. Indiana is hot. They beat the Cleveland Cavaliers last night. Cleveland was full strength. Indiana walks into Cleveland, Ohio, and Tyrese Halliburton played like 10 minutes, 11 minutes or whatnot, and They go ahead and win by 15, so Indiana is playing some of their best basketball of the season. But I want to go back to the NFL playoffs. And what were we talking about before the break? Because we always go all over.
Quarterback play.
Quarterback play, but, obviously. But Brock Purdy, Jordan Love, you know, we were talking about third down extensions. If you look at Washington yesterday, third downs. We were starting about red zone to third downs. But third downs yesterday, Washington, just want to get this out there. They were 9-15 on third down. 9-15, I believe. Anyway. Whoa. Hold on. Give me a second, Shasky. Because I want to get this out. Third down efficiency, 8-15.
Wow.
So there you go. 8-15 on third downs. You look at most of the winners this weekend, controlling the clock, taking the air out of the football, and also learning how to manage the game when it comes to clock management. Still, in 2025, and Greg Olsen has been all over the timeline talking about this, the clock management for some of these coaches and teams, it's just befuddling. It's just, it's criminal how badly some of these guys just mismanage the clock.
Mm. Last night in the Tampa Bay game, you know, everybody's going crazy about Todd Bowles not calling a timeout. They had two timeouts left, and it was basically like second and short. And I'm thinking, like him, like, okay, like you needed to stop on third down and then to burn the timeout. And you still have a minute. That's plenty of time to march down the field and either match with the field goal. But when you didn't get the stop, it didn't matter. The clock didn't matter. And everyone was losing their minds. You got to call the timeout. No, you just needed to stop them on third down, then call the timeout, but you didn't get the stop. You grabbed the towel instead, and then he spun around the corner and ended up scoring. I wanted to get into Pittsburgh and Mike Tomlin. And the reason why is I see Mike Tomlin and the success that he's had and how he sputtered out in the playoffs. They haven't won a playoff game since 2016. You're seeing all the different numbers. He's got the most wins in an 8-year span without a playoff win and blah, blah, blah.
It's stale. Come on.
Well, something I was thinking about is there's been a lot of rhetoric about Kyle Shanahan and his, like, is it over for Kyle Shanahan? Not from the majority of the famous, but from a loud group on the outside looking in. And I feel like if Shanahan is done with the Niners, it looks more like the Tomlin thing than him being garbage for 2, 3, 4, 5 straight seasons. I think he's just too, right now, I feel like he's too good to just be a 6-win team multiple times in a row. If it is ever time for Shanahan to go, it's probably like, hey, we're in the 9, 10, 11, 12 win zone, but we're not making the progress we want in the playoffs after 10 to 15 years. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's probably more what it looks like than him being inept for multiple seasons in a row.
A lot of rhetoric about Tomlin staying there because of the losing seasons or lack thereof of losing seasons, but you haven't won a playoff game since 16, 17. And so we look at their situation in Pittsburgh. Now, I bet you Pittsburgh fans right now would be willing to trade Mike Tomlin straight up for Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that deal.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that deal.
But
Pittsburgh fans would do that deal.
Yeah, they would.
So that's why I think Niner fans need to sit back for a second and relax and say, you know what? We got a damn good head coach. We have a good head coach that's going to put this team in position to win. And you just look at their staleness on offense. Russell Wilson obviously is a quarterback who's lost a little bit of something. There's no doubt. They need another wide receiver. They need another weapon. But their offense just feels to be outdated. The way they play football seems to be outdated. And then again, a third down. Baltimore, by the way, 10 to 15 on third downs Saturday night. Well, you got to be able to extend drives. But what Tomlin has done, you know, a lot of people say, well, he hasn't got his quarterback. Well, he's been there forever. They've gotten a Kenny Pickett route. They've gotten a Mason Rudolph route. It's not, at some point, you got to look yourself in the mirror and say, can we get back to an AFC divisional round game, let alone a wild card game or a playoff? Like, this team is just what a done. And the standard in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania is, no, we play for the Lombardi. We don't just play to get into the wild card game. And it's the way they faded down the stretch. They haven't won a game in over a month.
Yeah.
All right.
So if the season kept going, I think, like, let's say there was another 2 months, I don't think they would have won a lot of games.
They lost four straight, not to mention the playoff game. They weren't even in that game against Baltimore. So
that was a boring game.
So it was a very boring game, but it was boring on the Pittsburgh side.
Boring in the sense that I didn't think Pittsburgh had a chance. That's
right,
what I mean.
Right. But Derrick Henry Lamar was must-watch television.
But your point on Mike Tomlin is a good one. And here's what I would say to you. Like, the quarterback stuff, okay, fine. Let's throw the offense to the side. Tomlin's supposed to be known for, you know, being a general and leading the troops. It looked like they kind of quit on him. And then secondarily, if you're giving up 300 rushing yards to your divisional rival, like, then what are you hanging your hat on? If Kyle Shanahan can't run the ball multiple years in a row, all right, we got problems. You know what I mean? Like, that's what he hangs his hat on.
You know,
Tomlin, you gave up 300 yards rushing. So forget the quarterback. You gave up 300 yards rushing.
Yep. See, this is funny. 650-888-957-9570. You cannot compare Tomlin to Shanahan. Tomlin is levels above Kyle Shanahan. Well, last season, on opening day in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, Shanahan addressed Tomlin. The Niners went to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, what we thought would be a tough game, and smoked the Pittsburgh Steelers. It wasn't even close. Pittsburgh had one drive at the end of the first half where defense had a little bit of a meltdown, and after that, it was all Niners. Oh, that was Brock Purdy's first game back from the elbow injury, and he looked flawless in that game. So, Mike Tomlin at this stage, last time he won a playoff game, I think Shanahan has eight playoff wins. Eight playoff wins since Tomlin won a playoff game. So I'm not here for the, you know, Tomlin thing. And I like Tomlin, but at one point I did think he was overrated as a head coach. And I was like, you know what, he's winning nine games. Yeah. These guys, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
Nice, good.
But the way they faded, it couldn't correct their season. They had full control of the AFC North to win that division going away. And he didn't. Why? Because of the same things that's ailed him over the last 6 to 7 years.
Well, Monte, look, he won a Super Bowl, all right? However many, what, 2007?
Mm-hmm.
Was that when it was? Okay, yep. And he went to another one and lost to Green Bay.
And a lot of people could say you won that with Bill Cowher's team.
Okay.
That's what some people would say.
That's what some people would say.
I'm not going to do that to him.
No, I wouldn't.
But you know, you did have Bruce Arians, Bruce Arians, who was on that staff.
Yeah.
Bill Cowher for a long time, but continue.
No, the way I view this is pretty straightforward. It's not about what your resume looks like. It's about who are you right now, right? Like, that's how the league is set up. This NFL, more than any other sport, is like, who are you this moment, right now? Mike McCarthy has a Super Bowl. Who is Mike McCarthy right now? Sean Payton has a Super Bowl. Now, there was a time where I was fading Sean Payton. I'm kind of buying some of that Sean Payton stock. I think he needed a change of scenery and a year off. I think he looks a little different. You know, if you would have talked to people, you know, 4 years ago, no one's taking Dan Campbell as a top 7-8 coach in the NFL. Today, I think a lot of people are, right? Because of the body of work that he's done. At one point, when he was the interim coach in Miami, people laughed at the notion of Dan Campbell being your head coach. Nick Sirianni, 1 year ago, how'd you look at him? How do you look at him now? You know what I mean? So these things are, we got to know who you are right now. And look, Shanahan had a bad season right now. I believe if both coaches were out on the open market right now, Shanahan, you know, 7 or 8 out of 10 times would be taken over Mike Tomlin. Mm-hmm.
Wow. The Steelers have not, because I'm with you. I think in our own bubble, there's a lot of people that are so down on Kyle Shanahan, and they say, well, Shanahan's been in the NFC, and look at this roster that he has. He has a stacked roster. He still can't win. And I questioned Niner fans and said, who the hell do you think built the roster? Who the hell think built the roster out here in San Francisco? Shanahan and Lynch. They got their fingerprints all over this roster. You could talk about every single whiff, and you could try to dissect, well, was that a Lynch pick or a Shanahan pick? They're in on this together, all right? This is their baby. They've built this thing into a bully and built one of the best rosters in football. So when you say, let's move off of Kyle Shanahan, do you really want to go down to Mike Tomlin route, who hasn't won a playoff game since the 2016 season, when they won an ugly game, when they won a couple games against the Miami Dolphins and the Kansas City Chiefs? Like, let's be real here. Let's be real about what's going on in San Francisco compared to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh would die for Kyle Shanahan.
I mean, it's just, I think it's foolish. I think Tomlin's a nice guy. I like him. I think he's, like, for example, if I'm the Chicago Bears and I've been dysfunctional forever.
Right.
I could make an argument I would trade multiple picks for Mike Tomlin just to get stabilized. Like, I think you could do a lot worse than Mike Tomlin. But I think Shanahan's on a whole nother level than him.
Yep.
And it just is what it is. That's my personal belief. And, you know, if Shanahan puts together multiple 6-11 seasons back-to-back, well, then now we're going to have a different conversation. Right. But we're not there yet.
But see, the same excuses that Tomlin gets from fans is not warranted to Kyle Shanahan.
What's that?
Well, Tomlin doesn't have the personnel. Tomlin this and that. Tomlin doesn't have the quarterback. Tomlin doesn't have this. And Tomlin doesn't have that. Well, Shanahan doesn't have it. What excuses are we making? We blame it all on the head coach. We go all to the coach. We don't blame it on the personnel. See, players play. Coaches coach. And so, in one instance, in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, we're going to blame it all on the players, right? Oh, it's Russ, it's Pickens, it's Watts not healthy, this and that. We come out here to San Francisco, it's, well, Shanahan didn't do this, and Shanahan didn't do that. And I actually think this past season was more so on the players than it was on Shanahan.
I mean, we read it off. I have all of the salary cap stuff right now. Name me one of the top paid players who had a great year.
Exactly.
On the Niners.
George Kittle.
Exactly, right? And look, I probably sounded like a hater at the end of last week, but I was just trying to give you my honest opinion. I thought Fred Warner didn't really play like a Pro Bowler and an All-Pro player for the back half of the year. Now, I'm not saying here grinding.